You are now dialed into the Thunderwolves sports feed.
Well, good morning. And welcome to this November 26th edition of the Thunderbolts Sports Feed here on CILU Radio 102.7 FM and LURadio.ca on the World Wide Web. So happy you could make it here with us today. We've got a special guest in the booth, Lakehead Wrestling Coach Frank Clayton. And we've got lots to talk about. Anyway, let's get things rolling here with a little bit of my friend Bob Seger. This one's called Ramblin' Gamblin' Man. All right, as we are serenaded to the sounds of Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band on the Live Bullet album, that was Heavy Music, and before that we heard Ramblin' Gamblin' Man. Anyhow, I've got a bit of a rambler in the booth with me right now by the name of Francis Clayton. He's the coach, head coach of the Lakehead Wrestling Program. Franny, good morning.
Good morning, Hugh.
Lots of things happening in the Wolves Den, Fran. You just mentioned, what am I doing here? Why isn't Kip in here right now? But, of course, Kip Sigsworth, our cross-country and track running coach, got the news earlier in October, or early in November, that he's going to be the head coach of the Canadian team attending the FISHU World University Championships, which is a... quite an accomplishment, Fran. I believe you have some experience at FISHU as well, or World Championships, anyhow.
Yeah, I've done some championship stuff. That's really exciting when Kip was named, because not a lot of coaches get a chance to, you can be a chance part of the delegation, but not always a chance of being the head guy. It's I think as coaches, sometimes we don't even realize what's happening. Right? We say, okay, we're going to this trip, and you to see if it fits into your schedule or not, and if you can actually go. So we often, as coaches, miss the idea that it was actually a pretty good thing. It's a big thing for Kip, I think. It's a big thing for Lakehead. We don't have a lot of people that are named to national teams, and that's a, that would probably be a fairly competitive coaching field that when they pick a coach, you know. They have a lot of good coaches to pick from, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, Kip had said, you know, it wasn't the first time that he applied, and he was open about that. I'm not revealing a big secret there, but Kip was open about that. He's been interested in this for several years, mm-hmm. and something that he's aspired to, being part of the national team back in his running days, which weren't that long ago, you know, 10-15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he said he's been aspiring to this level, not only as an athlete but as a coach for some time. And I think it's a wonderful testament to Kip, who he's been working hard. He's brought along this team. I mean, in my time at Lakehead in 5 or 6 years, I've seen him create OUA contenders. Some of them were champions. Some of them won events. Some of them won gold medals. Other ones, you know, placed very well and progressed very well. I think, you know, at the end of the day, with track and running, it's all about being faster than you were. It's more so about personal goals, I find, than maybe defeating the opposition, because Canada running is very strong, and I think as long as you're improving every day and improving your personal best, which always seemed to be the case, anybody who is committed to Kip's team and training and program always got better. Yeah. Always got better. Case in point, of course, Kevin Tree, mm-hmm. who's went from, you know, finishing around 40th in his freshman year at the OUA meet to top 10 to medaling at the OUAs, and to this year where, you know, he's earlier in the year, he ran with the Canadian team in Colombia, China. His confidence is just burgeoning right now. It's a wonderful thing to see a young elite athlete who's put in the work. And now he's got a CIS silver medal to his credit as well, which is incredible, you know, in a race of 200 people.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's Tree and Kip's program is a big statement towards long-term athlete development, right? A lot of people, they have this mindset that if you're not already good, when you walk into a university, you're not going to be good. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, right? A lot of people in high school, they put a lot of their hours in already. And then when they may not, if they have a great high school result, they may not necessarily have a good university result. They might have put the time in already. So sometimes, you know, you put the time in, you got a good base in high school, you move on. This is definitely with wrestling, too, and a lot of sports, because a lot of sports are late yet, well, if not all of them. They're late maturing sports, right? And basketball, I don't know what the peak age is when they're hitting their form, but probably late 20s. Wrestling's 28, you know. Yeah. I'm sure track is the same, you know. You get a little bit older. So when you walk in at university and you're like 40th in OUA, and people say, well, I guess that's where I'm going to be. But no. You put the work in. And we have guys like that on our team, similar, you know, they put the work in and you will get better. If you put smart work in, you can get, every day you'll get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I should mention to our listeners, for those of you who don't know that, you know, Fran, you've been coaching since the mid 80s. You've been part of, you know, world championships, as I mentioned, you've attended as a coach. And you're level 5 certified coach. You know, it's, you know, one of a handful of people in the country with that designation. But from that coaching philosophy background, you know, I can imagine you can offer, you know, some insights into that sort of long-term athlete development, you know, when you're talking about that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I've spent a lot of my, when in between my coaching gigs, I stopped at 205 and I did some other things, and I was involved heavily in the coaching education, and we looked at athlete development. And the biggest, was two stumbling blocks, right? When people come along, the early developers beat the younger developing kids. So the young kids start dropping out. But then those early developers later, when the other kids catch up to them, they get all bummed out, and they figure, holy Jesus, what come all these people are catching up to me? So then they drop out. So we lose people on both sides of it, right? A lot of people, they got a lot more in them, and they just stay by the time university, they don't go to university because they think either they're done or they don't see there's hope. But most people quit way, way, way before they even had a chance to achieve a result, you know. And that's, as a coach, that's really frustrating. As organizations, you know, we see the drop off all the time, right?
Yeah. Well, it's always you never really get to see the full picture, the full potential of an athlete.
Yeah.
If they, you know, and everybody might have lulls in their career development, or you know, and university is a huge factor in that. You know, it's not easy to go from putting in 20, 30, 40 hours a week or what have you as a high school student, getting through high school, trying to have a social life, and then you get into university where it's, you know, you got some more independence, but you're also, no one's really taking attendance at class to see if you're there and calling your parents if you're not in class, you know.
No, it's
you're growing up in a hurry. Yeah. And, you know, and you're paying money, you know, some athletes and some students as well are lucky enough to have scholarships. But, I can tell you that the ones who got the scholarships through academics are, you don't have to ask them twice to, you know, go to class, do your assignments on time, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and I shouldn't, try to infer anything with that. You know, we've got lots of great student athletes. We've got our largest number of academic all Canadians in quite some time. But yeah, the athletes that can really buy in as they get older, as they mature physically, because you're right. I mean, with university basketball players, I can say that you're not really in your peak shape until maybe 23, which is, you know, uncoincidentally, fourth, fifth years for most of most of these players. So,
yeah.
Moving forward from that, you know, we'd like to say welcome, congratulations, Kip. If you'd like to learn more about this, there's a story posted on the cross-country page of thunderwolves.ca and through all the social media channels at Lakehead T-Wolves on Twitter. You're on Twitter too now, Fran.
I've been tweeting. I took a picture today. I got tweeted, I think. I have to figure out the hashtag stuff. I got to figure that out. And
yeah.
I'm a little tweet shy. You know, I don't really want to get out there. And yeah, I'm probably like a lot of people.
Yeah. No, well, I applaud you because, you know, I know you're an old school guy, but you've never been afraid of technology. You're a technology wizard in terms of multimedia and whatnot, so this is something new that you're facing head on.
Yeah, it's a lot different than the Facebook posts, right? It's just a little bit different. Hashtag stuff's getting me a bit, but I haven't got a hell of a lot of followers, so if people out there, you want to...
It's at LU Coach Clayton, I think, right?
I guess that would be something I should get a handle on a little bit more.
So you should get a handle on your Twitter handle.
If I want to improve my... increase my number. But yeah, now I am trying to tweet regularly. I don't got one of them. Trying to tweet some photographs.
I've also taken a step in terms of technology. Yesterday, I created Lakehead Athletics Instagram account.
Oh, Instagram.
Instagram, are you familiar?
Yeah, I think my kids have those accounts. That's photographs.
Yeah, it's sort of like... I don't know, Facebook Lite or something. All of it very good, informative stuff. But in terms of news feeds, it's strictly photos.
So I can create an account, Instagram.
Yeah.
Put my photo I took of you and then tweet it.
Oof, yeah.
Can I tweet it then?
Yeah, I don't know how many followers you're going to get if your first picture is of my ugly mug. But, yeah, we'll see. There you are. Yes, at LU_Coach_Clayton.
Yeah. And I tweeted something big that we did not long ago, the Reach Up. We partnered with them and we did a clinic. We donated a mat, Lakehead.
Yeah.
Donated a mat, and a lot of thanks goes to Tom Warden. He's totally supportive of that. We got a mat up at Big Dog.
White Dog.
White Dog, sorry.
Yeah.
White Dog, and it was a good event. And we've got some good feedback from the article you did with that and a good picture there.
Yeah, well, it's all from the source, you know. I just put it out there. You took the picture and sent me the quotes, and a big shout out to Tara Hedigan, who helped facilitate that clinic as well, who's teaching up there, and is from Northwestern Ontario, was a World Junior
World Champion. She's amazing because, she's gone up there and she's worked hard and she tries to be involved in lots of sports. She sees that as an avenue for kids, kids at risk, and she does a lot of different things. She doesn't just do the wrestling part, but she does do it. Mm-hmm. And we gave her a match. Her and I and her sister were the coaches of the NAG, North American Indigenous Games, in Regina.
Yeah.
And that was a good event. And it's good. I think there's a lot more development in years to come in the First Nations. I think people see it as something that's needed to be done. And it's a huge growth area in all of our sports. It's untapped. First Nation kids are not well represented in not in our varsity teams, probably. Across Canada, I'm saying more so, not just
Lakehead. I would second that notion.
Yeah, so it's a good way to get them involved. So they're talented kids, good eye hand, coordination, right? And lots of energy.
Yep.
And I think a lot of them have the characteristics that make good athletes. The bouncing off the walls, that could be a problem. Student could be a great athlete, right? Because they have all that energy. And I think
it just needs to be focused.
Yeah, I think our teams are full of people. I've coached tons of people.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, you've seen hundreds, thousands of athletes, right?
Geez, yeah. I don't know how many kids were not geared for university, right? That was their high school coach's last words. Oh, no, they're not university. They're not ready for that. That's not what they're set for. And these guys now that aren't ready for university or never were, you know, they're teaching and they're coaching and they're doing very, very well because somebody actually said, hey, look, you can actually do university. Just get get in there.
Yeah.
And they just need a little bit of guidance. And then they get in the team and they figure that they're not the only ones that are bouncing off the walls, right? Mike Thomas, he bounced off a few walls in his day, you know, like, holy smokes, you know.
Yes, of course, you're speaking of our Mike Thomas, athlete in the 90s and a national champion wrestler.
Oh, yeah, unreal. His parents would say they would driving to their cottage, and Mike would be sleeping in the car. And they said, Jesus, don't stop the car because he'll wake up. So they get to a red light or something, they just look and they just keep going. We can't stop. You'll wake up, man. So they would do that.
Yeah.
But here's a guy who was putting motors on skateboards, right? He wanted to put a motor on my office chair. He goes, Coach, you go 40 clicks down the hallway. I said, Mike, you can't put a motor on my office chair. But he went through geography, got his teaching degree, and then he actually went back to get some small motor mechanic, I think.
Yep.
He kind of went the backwards way because he wanted to be in the shop, right?
Yeah.
He's been coaching and teaching for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. He's been, I know he was teaching in the Ignace there mm-hmm. for a good spell, and he's closer to home now.
Yeah, he just loves it up here, and he's just one of those people, right? He spent a lot of time in high school, and it was tough for him, but once he got focused and said, hey, I can do this, what kind of a life do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's,
the rest is history. Now he's on the Wall of Fame.
Now he's on the Wall of Fame.
As are you. Anyhow, we're going to take a brief pause here just for some messages from the station. You're listening to Thunderbolt Sports Beat on CLU Radio 102.7 FM and LUradio.ca. So you and I love hamburgers. It's true. We're not vegetarians.
No.
If you're into that, that's perfectly fine. That's cool. But we like burgers, and maybe we've got an idea for a whole show.
Oh, yeah, the burger off. Everyone has their favorite burger, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you here on this one. I believe the Thunder Bay is a town that loves its ground beef between two pieces of bread.
Yeah, I think we're a burger town, and it's it'd be a neat show to have because I think all the coaches have their favorite burger. I'm sure Manny would, but it would probably be the cheapest burger. Not necessarily the best burger. Go here, so I can get a burger cheaper than that burger. I'll eat this one. Manny, it's not the way it works, Matt.
It's the quality, brother. It's the quality.
I know. But sorry, Manny, if you're listening to the show.
I'm sure he's not. But anyhow, no, Manny's busy because he's getting ready, and as is the women's coach, John Kreiner, a huge, huge weekend matchup here in St. Catharines against the Brock Badgers. Brock women are currently ranked 7 in the country,
wow.
And the men are ranked number 4 in the country. So it's quite the two-headed monster, dragon, badger,
mm-hmm.
a two-headed badger, if you will, that's... Lakehead basketball is going to have to face this weekend. Games on Friday have been sold out that's being hosted at the gym, Bob Davis Gymnasium. I heard they hold 1,500, maybe 2,000, right. Maybe 2,000 people at the Bob Davis Gymnasium. And Saturday's games, those games are sold out. I guess they sold 1,000 tickets in 15 minutes or something like that at Brock. Yeah, it's crazy. This is their home opener for basketball,
okay.
And so they've got an appetite for it. And they're looking to feed on our Thunderwolves this weekend, but we're going to see if we can't give them a little feedback.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that we're not used to the crowds, right? So that's kind of, it might not be as intimidating for our players as a lot of other teams when you go into those filled gyms, right? So
mm-hmm.
it kind of, and I think we're going to have our own crowd there, eh? I believe there's a bit of a movement there to make sure that Lakehead is well represented.
Yeah, well, Lakehead has been spreading its wings and its net, its influence, its name, its brand, mm-hmm. our brand of Lakehead basketball has been growing. And yes, there is indeed a Lakehead kind of Lakehead parents, alumni, family, friends, all of those people are welcome to join. Lakehead on the Saturday game. Now, the Saturday, as I mentioned, the Friday game's at the university. The Saturday game is sort of the big kind of marquee event here where it's happening at the Meridian Center, which For a hockey game, its capacity is 5,300. So I'm guessing for a basketball game, you could probably get close to 6,000 people in there if you really wanted to. 55 anyway. And there's limited supply of those tickets left, and you can get those at Ticketmaster.com. But that's happening on Saturday night. And at that event, Athletics Director Tom Warden and myself, actually, will be hosting sort of a social event at the club level of the Meridian Center, which is to say we'll have a suite or a box of some kind there at the event. And any Lakehead fans, parents, alumni, whomever, anybody that's on our side is cheering for Lakehead that weekend, basically, who's got a ticket is welcome to join us in the social event area at the club level of the Meridian Center. So that should be fun. It's always, I don't mind getting out for a trip once in a while, but it's always great to reunite with Lakehead basketball alums, and they're doing a lot to support our team, whether it's just following the team or, you know, being an active, donor, or just coming out to these Lakehead alumni and Lakehead basketball events in Southern Ontario, the GTA, what have you. So that's a big event this weekend that I'm sure is front and center.
Do you got a lot of the people from the alumni or homecoming weekend? Like there's a ton of people. Came here for it. You know,
That's true. And we have made some connections there with the, folks that maybe hadn't been back to Lakehead in my tenure here as a communications director, but made some connections there, and we're hoping that some of those friendly faces can come out this weekend in St. Catharines. Tickets are reasonably priced. I think it's maybe $15 for Saturday's game. Friday's game are sold out. Saturday's games, should be noted, are at 5 and 7 p.m. Friday's games are at 6 and 8. Saturday's 5 and 7 p.m. at the Meridian Center in St. Catharines. Anyhow, that's what's happening this weekend, and I'm sure John Kreiner and Manny are fully focused on the task at hand there and not perhaps the best burger in town.
No, they're probably, the task. Well, they're two pretty focused coaches. They know what they're trying to do this year.
They had some good results last weekend, I should mention. Lakehead women and men going 2-0 on the weekend, defeating Nipissing on Friday and Laurentian on Saturday. It was good to see both teams evening up their records to 3-3. And Franny, I should mention that your team was also on the go last weekend at Ontario Senior Championships, and we had some positive results there. Maybe you could give us some insight.
Yeah, it was good. It's a tougher tournament. It's not as big as a lot of tournaments because it's usually the higher end people go, and we had some, Emma Horner won her weight class. We had not everyone placed. We did, I believe, the top three people in the top three. So it was good. Our 72-kilo girl, she's 75 that weekend. First-year wrestler, third year at university, Dana Campbell. She used to go to Hammarskjöld here locally.
Yeah.
I was one of her coaches at one time. She was coached by a friend of mine, Louis Koch, in Hammarskjöld. She beat a person who was OUA medal last year, so that was a good for us to see that.
Yeah, and that's great that Dana Campbell's doing so well. I mean, it's always great to see any wrestler do well, any Lakehead athlete for that matter. But a rookie straight out of high school, and she's making noise already.
Yeah, she won the MAC tournament, and she was second at Dunterra Senior. So she's doing well. Right now the wrestling team's all banged up.
Yeah, you were mentioning you had some pesky kind of injuries that...
Yeah, it hasn't been good that way. Well, January, we have a lot of people. If you can get injured, this is the time, because now we have December. So we have a few that will be back in January, but we know we had a good... We've had good events, and we haven't had an easy schedule because the events we've had, we had Winnipeg was probably running two or three in the country.
Yeah.
We had them first, and then we had the MAC event, and that was all the tough. Everybody was there, and we beat a national champion at that one. We Walner beat Jagus. And then the Ontario Seniors, now we have the York event coming up this weekend. So it's good. It's good going into the Christmas term where we know what we have to work on. We've been doing a good job with that, and it's been good. We have the addition of Justin Beauplan's been amazing.
Yeah, you've been saying that he's been a great influence in practice on the mat and in tournaments and whatnot. And I've had a chance to meet him. And, I mean, he was a player. He was an athlete of yours.
Yes.
So, I mean, you guys go way back. But I must say, after just meeting him a handful of times, I can tell he's got a good energy about him.
Oh, yeah.
Very positive thinking, great sense of humor. But also very intense. I've seen him in practice, and he's not pulling any punches, so to speak. He's really grinding it out with the player, the athletes in practice, making them work.
Yeah, he's very good. One guy in one talking to somebody from an Ontario Wrestling Association, he said, "Oh, Justin, he's a rock star, man. He's a rock star."
Yeah.
So
I could see that. I could see that.
I don't think in all my years I've ever been called a rock star. So he's already done. Got a compliment that I won't get anytime soon. So that was good. And, he's quick to talk to people he's been very good. It's been very good for our program. The team loves him. And, he's been very helpful.
The biggest question is, what's his favorite burger?
He said his mom's burgers.
Oh,
burgers,
come on. That's such a cop-out, man.
I think we got it's got to be a paid for burger, but I don't know what he would do. I know he.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, I think we got to have the burger off. We got to get that in there and see how that goes. So it'd be interesting what your viewers or your
listeners.
Listeners. Yeah. Okay. That one. Yeah, the listeners have to say about the big burger in town.
Yeah.
I know, the Burger Barn's. They got a new location.
Yeah, I got to say, shouts to the Burger Barn. And if anyone out there is listening, this show is always looking for sponsorship. And if you're interested in sponsoring Thunderbolt Sports Feed and you're selling burgers or sandwiches of whatever kind, that's really the only sponsorship I'm interested in.
Yeah, we had the burgers. But they helped out. We had our reunion in the Prospector Burger Barn. And they have Tony Hockenhall, he helped out with the Prospector. He's not as much involved in the Burger Barn as his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony wrestled for us for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was a great supporter then, and he still is at the our brunch we had at the homecoming. They supplied a soup for our brunch. So
I can recall he also gave a lot of support when we hosted the OUAs and CIS here as well.
Always, and he was a great a team guy with us. And he's still supporting away as much as he can. And I know the first time I was at the Burger Barn, I think he paid for my burger, and he said to me, "We're even." I didn't know what he meant. I guess that's what I did for him. It was worth the big burger. So he laughed and he chuckled. So, but it was. I'm going back there ever since. It was a good investment on their part because I keep on going back for more. So
I'm a big fan of burgers, and I'm a big fan of trying them all.
Trying them all. That's it. What's your burger, Hugh?
Well, I was impressed with the Burger Barn. There's so many to choose from. And then if you're talking Coney, I think is a whole other competition unto itself because
category.
I would have to say the Finlandia burger at the Hoyto is good. The Stanley burger, I mean, that's a bit of a hike out there, but that's well worth the drive.
If out of city limits though, might not be included.
No, but that's city limits. I mean, man, it's 8 hours to the next town and you can't drive 20 for a burger.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Family Burger's good, yeah. There's lots of good burgers. The Coney one, the one, the McKellar Lunch one.
McKellar's always classic. And then you got the Greeks, and then the, you know, we've got to represent our West Forders there with the Coney Island burgers there on Frederica. I think everyone, it's hard to rank them because they're a little bit different depending on, you know, how fresh the buns are and how fresh the sauce and the burgers are and whatnot. So I'm a fan of them all, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, the Greeks is close to me in my new hood where I live. And, you know, I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought I was going to go gangbusters on Greeks. And it's good. I stopped by, but maybe some of the magic is lost when it's so close. Anyhow, nothing against the Greeks either. Delicious burgers. Any press is good press.
Yes.
Anyhow, speaking of giving press to those who deserve it, the women's volleyball team is in action tonight, actually, on the road. They're down in Guelph. They've got another three-game weekend. They've got two games in Guelph, one tonight, one tomorrow. And then they hit the road once more and go up the old TCH there to Ottawa for a game on Sunday afternoon. The women's team at 3-4 on the year, very respectable in terms of, you know, past years and things like that. I can't remember a year when we had three wins before Christmas. There's no doubt been a few, but anyway, it's a positive sign. We're just under 500, and I think it's certainly possible with our talented girls team to scratch out a win here out of these three games. Guelph is a strong team. Ottawa, traditionally a very strong team, but not as strong based on their record. Mm-hmm. I'm going strictly by their records right now. Coach Chris Green, of course, did offer me some insights there during in his preview comments. But yeah, he knows what he's getting into, and we wish Coach Green and his team all the best of luck in Guelph and Ottawa this weekend.
Yeah, they've been working hard. Hey, they've been in the gym all the time. Outside of their practice times, they want to get to those. They want to beat those teams they can beat. Right? They want to. They're motivated.
And to wrap things up, Franny, you guys are competing at the York Open this weekend. What can we expect there?
I think we're going to do well. I think we're going to. The athletes should stay in the tournament throughout, I would imagine. It's not as tough as our previous competitions. We're not bringing a huge crew, based more or less because they're banged up, and we don't have a huge crew to bring at this stage. Unfortunately, I think that's across the board in all sports and definitely in wrestling. Waltner's back in the lineup this weekend, which is good, and Tyler Asher's been working hard, and Emma's back in the lineup, and Waltner and Drew Anderson's had two good weekends, but he's starting looking for something a little bit more, I think. So I think I think we should. It would be a good way to end this semester. I'm hoping we do it right. We've been working on lots of things. So
Because I noticed with some of these tournaments and whatnot, sometimes they coincide with other big events. And it sort of splits the OUA. Sometimes you don't get all the best wrestlers because there's two events happening this weekend. I'm not sure if that's the case this weekend, but this tournament is going to be fairly well attended from our OUA rivals.
Yeah, it'll be well attended. It'll be mainly just university.
Yeah.
Last tournament was open.
Yeah.
So this will be mainly university athletes. This is an open event, but I think a lot of Olympic trials are happening in a week after.
Olympic trials,
and they're out in Edmonton area.
Are we going to be sending anybody there?
No, we're not. No, not this one. Four years from now, the next we have a
next round. Okay,
next round for sure.
Okay,
but right now, no. So a lot of all the big players are going to be taking the weekend off and going to that. So, which doesn't make this tournament lighter because it'll be all the OUA people, CIS people will be heading to this one. So it'll be a good event for us. It'll be good to see where we are in the OUA.
Yeah, just a little kind of check in with the see where we stand in terms of the OUA field.
Yes.
All right. Well, we are just out of time here on the Thunderbolt Sports Feed, and I want to thank you, Fran, for joining me. The hour's flown by.
Flown by.
And best of luck this weekend in Toronto. Best of luck to our basketball teams in St. Catharines and to our volleyball team in Guelph and Ottawa. And also best of luck to the men's hockey team who are hosting some games this weekend. That's it, everybody. We'll see you next week.